And in the hadith, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, those who do not show compassion and affection to our young and respect to our elders, they are not others. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has in the ahadith instructed the wife to respect the husband. Now before I continue, I don't want anybody to think that this is a one-sided speech, as is often the case, that oh, children should respect their parents and wives should be subordinate and respectful and reverent towards their husbands. See, Allah has placed a very beautiful and harmonious system in our lives. There has to be a leader and there has to be authority. And in the relationship between children and parents, parents can't just expect respect from their children at any cost without any input from their part, on their part. No. As the hadith says, those who do not respect our elders and do not show compassion to our young. Parents are supposed to care for, show love, compassion and affection, tolerance, and all of these other feelings towards their children. And in turn, children are to respect their parents. But this speech isn't about compassion or affection or the rights and duties. That's another topic. Rights and duties and obligations. What are the obligations of the parents towards the children and vice versa? This speech is about respect. And in this instance, Allah has not told the parents to respect the children. And that's a lesson pumped out today in the media. Children say, our teachers should respect us. Parents should respect us. Children go retreat to their bedrooms and sulk and probably talk to themselves or write in their diary, why doesn't dad respect me as an individual? Why doesn't mum respect me as an individual? My teacher always tells me that you should be respected. You're an individual. Your emotions, your demands, your requests, your requirements, your wants, your desires, your way of life should all be respected. And that's a new teaching. That's a new style. Parents are being told, this is the media, this is new modern day living, this is a lifestyle, this is a new religion, this is new society. A son comes home one day and brings another lad and he says to his mum and dad, I've got something to tell you. His name is Brian and says, Dad, me and John, we're about to get married. So I just brought him home to meet the parents. Now what are parents expected to do? The new style is, the new teaching is, new education is. The parents are supposed to say, oh son Brian, we've always loved you and you've grown up now and whatever you want we shall respect and we may disagree with it, but if that's what you want then we'll go along with you and we'll respect you and still love you. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-'aliyyil 'azim. And that's the attitude that young Muslims are also adopting. Whatever they want, the parents are supposed to respect their wishes. No, Allah hasn't told parents to respect their children. Allah has told parents to be compassionate to them, to be affectionate to them, to be loving and merciful towards them. Once the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam picked up one of his grandsons and smothered him with kisses. And there are some men who are like that. They feel that it's not a manly thing to do. You know, I don't want to be this new age man. I want to be the traditional man. Very resilient, robust, almost like a robot in physique and in feelings and emotions. So they don't show any affection to their children. No kisses, no compassion, nothing. Just good old dad, military style. Do this, don't do that. And that's it. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam picked up one of his grandchildren and smothered him with kisses. There was a Bedouin standing close by. And he observed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he instantly remarked, he said, do you kiss your children in this manner? He says, by Allah, I never kiss my children. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, and what can I do if Allah has snatched and extracted mercy from your heart? What can I do if Allah has snatched mercy from your heart? So Allah has told parents to be compassionate, loving, merciful, caring, dutiful towards their children. But Allah hasn't told parents to show respect to their children. Of course you can argue that there are some forms of compassion and affection and tolerance that constitute respect in themselves. But we're not talking about that, we're talking about normal respect. But Allah has told children to be dutiful and to be respectful towards their parents. Similarly, wives are required to show respect to their husbands. Now, like I was saying, this doesn't mean that husbands just demand and receive respect for free without any cost. Of course, husbands have great duties and obligations towards their wives. And that's another topic in itself. I'm not going to be speaking about the rights and the obligations of the husband towards the wife, or vice versa. We're not talking about obligations and duties. We're speaking about respect. Now, Allah hasn't told the husband to respect the wife. Now, that doesn't mean he disrespects her. Just like the parents are not to disrespect their children. But the respect of seniority and authority and the respect of reverence that we are speaking of comes one way from the wife to the husband. Of course, like I said, you can argue that there are other emotions and other attitudes that the husband can display towards the wife that in themselves constitute respect. So the husband respects the feelings of the wife, the requirements of the wife, the privacy of the wife, the time of the wife. Husband respects the wants and the needs of the wife. That's all another topic, of course, but you can't really call that respect. You could call that showing affection, love, tolerance, compassion, fulfilling the duties and obligations towards a wife. That's another topic. But as far as respect is concerned, Allahu Akbar. In many hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has explained, many authors of hadith have quoted this incident, including Imam Hakim rahmatullahi alayhi wa sallam, one of the sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum. He came and informed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, O Prophet of Allah, I went to Sham, modern day Jordan, Syria, Lebanon, that area. I went to Sham, and there I saw the Christians prostrating to their clergy, to their bishops and their religious leaders. So, O Prophet of Allah, why don't you allow us to prostrate to you? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade them, and he said, if I was to instruct anyone to prostrate before anybody else, I would instruct the wife to prostrate to her husband. Because of the greatness of the right that he enjoys and possesses over her. Now, you can't argue with the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, this is not to suggest that it's all one way. Like I said, marriage is hard work. It requires great input, sacrifice, concessions and compromises and duties from both the wife and the husband. And each has a separate duty towards the other. But here we're talking about respect. And one of the casualties of modern day living is that just as children are beginning to lose respect for their parents, wives are also losing respect for their husbands. And we're talking about Muslim families. Is there any surprise that the divorce rate is so high, even amongst Muslims? Is there any surprise that there is anarchy at times, and great displeasure and confusion? And one could even go as far as describing the family home being a jahannam for its inhabitants because of the insolence, rudeness, disrespect, and sometimes outright rebellion shown by some wives to their husbands. Here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells the sahaba radiyallahu anhum, no, under no circumstances would I ever tolerate you prostrating to me, even though he possesses such a great right over his followers. But if I was to allow, not just allow, the words are instruct. If I was to instruct anyone to prostrate to someone, then I would instruct the wife to prostrate to the husband. Because of the great right that Allah has placed for him over her. Now, apart from children showing respect to their parents, wives showing respect to their husbands, even as adults, like I was saying earlier, parents can't just say, oh, my children aren't respecting me. The father should ask himself, the mother should ask herself, am I showing the respect to other rightful individuals who deserve that respect, as I expect respect for my children? We are expected to respect our neighbours, our colleagues, others senior to us in authority and in age. We are supposed to respect the ulama. And that's one major casualty of modern day living. The ulama are the butt of all jokes. Whether it's Bengali, or Urdu, Punjabi, Gujarati, or other languages, this Maulvi, The mullah, the malvi, the malbi. Now some people don't even pronounce malvi with a V, they call him malbi. The mullah, the imam, the malvi, whatever you want to say, he is often the butt of jokes. In the UK, many offensive jokes are often divided between the Englishman, the Irishman and the Scottishman. And the poor Irishman always ends up being the butt of all jokes, the great buffoon, the idiot, the great sufferer, the eternal sufferer. And in many Punjabi, Gujarati, Bengali, Urdu jokes, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, it's often the Malvi. We have lost respect for the ulama. And it's not, I don't joke about the ulama. It's not just about cracking jokes. Even if you don't crack jokes about ulama, Allah Azza wa Jalla, Islam teaches us respect for our teachers, for those who are senior in authority and in learning. If someone is leading you in salah, he is your imam. Whether you like it or not, you are praying to Allah behind him. He is leading you in salah. You cannot go into sajda until he goes into sajda first. You cannot bow into ruku until he bows into ruku first. In salah, you are required to remain silent to the extent that if you utter any word that is not of the Quran, your salah will be invalid. But he speaks on your behalf. Show respect to your imam. But no, these days if the imam lengthens his salah for 5 minutes or delays his khutbah by 5 minutes, I've mentioned this before, people actually come out of the masjid and refer to the imam as an illegitimate child. If you don't get it, so forgive me for saying it, he goes out and says that imam is a bee. Actually swears and says he's a bee for delaying salah by 5 minutes. SubhanAllah, what's the point of you coming into the masjid to pray salah? It's sad that non-Muslims sometimes show more respect to their teachers or people of seniority and authority amongst them and their places than Muslims do. A few weeks ago, one of my students, he gave me a piece of paper. It was an advertisement, it was a flyer, as you call it here in North America. It was a flyer. And this flyer was advertising martial arts lessons in a particular dojo, in a martial arts center. And it gave all the requirements and guidelines of behavior for the students of this particular style of martial arts. They were told how to address the master. They were told how to address the master, second in command and third in command and fourth in command. They were told how to enter the dojo. They were told what they could wear, what they couldn't wear, what they could say, what they couldn't say. They were told how to sit, how to stand, how to bow, how to behave, how to move. They were told to respect the floor of the dojo, the walls of the dojo, the environment of the dojo, the hall. They were told to respect their fellow students, their colleagues, and their teachers. When they addressed their teachers, they were not allowed to mention, well, they were instructed to speak in a certain way and to address them with honorable titles. SubhanAllah, such discipline and such reverence and respect for someone who's just teaching you a few punches and a few kicks. Of course, the danger is that if you don't, you know, if you diss your sensei, then you're going to get a serious beating. So maybe people show respect out of fear. But that's a discipline. And these are people who do not believe in Allah. They don't believe in God. These are non-Muslims. And in Islam, we expect to learn of our ulama. We expect to learn our Quran. We expect to learn our religion. That will guide us through this life and lead us into Jannah in the hereafter, inshaAllah. And yet we aren't willing to respect the people or the tools and the instruments and the environment of that knowledge.